from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia. This is Cleats and Cuffy. Everything ultimate, from the field to the border.
Hello and welcome. Another Cleats and Cufflinks. Nick Darling here. I have next to me Bert Katzen for today's show. How you doing, Bert?
Doing well. Pretty excited. My first ever podcast, so that's nice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So episode 29, too. I mean, you're right on the cusp of a new sort of decade of episodes,
yeah.
If you will. Still in the 20s, though. Still feeling young.
I mean, I've been begging to do these since I feel like episode 10 to 12.
Yeah, probably like somewhere in that 10, 11 range, if I recall. Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
You've held me off as long as possible.
I did what I could. I'm going to do a little announcement first, and then we're going to get to you. So a little quick announcement for everybody out there. We are partnered with a really cool company who you may have heard of called Tough Mudder. They do apparently obstacle-style race courses where they shock you and light you on fire.
Yeah,
and things like that, but in a really positive way. No, it's a really cool company. They do these really cool races. If you haven't seen them, check them out, Tough Mudder. And also, if you decide you want to do one of these races, you can use Tough MLU for 20% off. Only for a couple more days, though. So get in there, toughmudder.com, check out their races, see if there's one near you. Go ahead and sign up and, you know, send us some pictures or video of you doing it, and we'll go ahead and post those, share them with people, show people how tough you are. Anyway, that's my plug for Tough Mudder. And now we're going to get back to Mr. Bert Katzen here.
The star of the show.
Is that what we're calling you?
I mean,
it doesn't seem right.
It feels right, though, you know?
It feels right. Yeah, fair enough. So, Bert, I wanted to start by going kind of back a ways. You've been working here for how long now?
A little over a year. Started in October of last year.
But your campaign to work here began somewhat earlier.
Very, very much sooner. Jeff Snyder and I had a bit of a Twitter relationship.
A Twitter relationship, okay.
Because I was fortunate enough to have two roommates who were working here at the time, so I felt it was almost as if I knew Jeff and would tweet at him various things at the games, letting him know, you know, I liked his suit, liked the way he was looking, you know.
To be clear, though, you did not know Jeff.
I did not know Jeff.
Not even a little.
And he was, you know, reluctant to respond. To say the least.
Yeah, not a big, yeah, a little confused.
Very
perhaps
one-way
by your, yeah, very one-way relationship. I like that. And you, you know, again, you were angling to work here a little bit, but not taking it the traditional path.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to, you know, forge my own path. Didn't want to have to use, you know, any previous relationships, being my roommates Billy and Luke. I wanted to keep them out of it, make this about me and the commish.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, I've heard from Billy and Luke both. That as a roommate, you're kind of like the third in the tiers of good ultimate players to bad. You're kind of at the bottom of that, so I could see why you wouldn't want to leverage those relationships.
See, no, it doesn't surprise me that you say that at all.
I just heard it. That's what I've heard.
You know, like if I got skied daily as they do, I'd probably feel the same way.
You probably know, feel like
I'd need to, you know, put on that front.
Put on the airs.
Exactly. Me, I'm quiet. Quiet confidence.
Quiet confidence.
Okay, this is in the air. I attack it. It's the end of the story. Those two, they're on the ground crying.
All right. Well, enough of your roommate drama. So can you give us a little bit of a sampling of the types of messages that you were sending to Jeff when you were trying to sort of break your way into the MLU? Do you have anything on hand?
It really started, there was a Philadelphia game at St. Joe's, which is where I went to school, where Billy went to school, where Luke went to school. We were all, you know, captains of the team there. And he was, I thought at least, I had just got to meet a couple of guys who were working in the office, and I had been told, someone told me that Jeff was playing the music, was playing like the in-between points music and all that kind of stuff. So I tweeted at him.
Weird thing for him to do.
At Jeff Snyder, he plays the sickest beats, and got no response. So later that day, I confronted him about it. And was like, what's the deal? Like, I've been tweeting at you now for a bit. I just complimented you on your sick beats. And he sort of like I don't think he knew who I was at all. So he was just like, so he just tried to take it as like, you know, politically correct as possible. Was like, oh, you're a fan. Like, you know, thanks for being here.
Thanks for complimenting my sick beats.
But that's then wonderful. After a while, I think he started to notice. So like, you guys had a, you know, a office pickup ultimate game.
This is the one I remember.
And I got... I didn't get invited to it. Obviously, I wasn't on the email thread.
You weren't in the office. You weren't on the email thread, but you found out that it existed.
Heard through the grapevine that it was going on and tweeted, like, you know, at Jess Nader, I think he must have forgotten me on the email. Like, it's good. I'll be there. Hashtag shirts versus skins. Like, we're skins.
Hashtag BFF. Hashtag, yeah.
A lot of hashtag BFFs. Yeah, pretty much. You know, got away with everything I could. Really started to push the limit there towards the end, and then ended up getting a call to come in for an interview, and
here you are.
Yeah,
here you are. So you came in, you interviewed, and you got the gig as what? Tell people what you do here.
So
I know.
Yeah, obviously.
If I didn't know, that would be really weird. It'd be super weird.
There's not that many people here.
If I didn't know, frankly, if I didn't know, you should just leave. But I do. Yeah. I know. But tell people.
So my title is, I have a couple titles, but my main title is a partnership development associate. So, you know, what I do is essentially my day-to-day activities include reaching out to people and, you know, building relationships with potential partners to try and, you know, get them supporting the MLU both now and long term.
So reaching out, letters?
Yeah. Doing emails, phone calls.
Okay. The carrier pigeons?
Yeah, I mean, I had signals. One. I had an owl, but he never came back.
Unrequited tweets?
Actually, I did tweet.
You did that,
right? Yeah, this is pretty recently. I tweeted at 5-Hour Energy. I'd emailed them, and they never got back to me. And then it was around 2:30, and I was feeling a little groggy. I think we were out of coffee.
Yep.
I tweeted at 5-Hour Energy, you know, I've got that 5:30 or 2:30 feeling.
Yep.
And they tweeted back at me. It was like, you know, everyone gets that feeling. And I was like, now that I have your attention, let's talk partnership.
I love it. I love the approach. You know, working that side of the gig, because we'll talk, because you have some other things that you do here with us. But working that side of it, like, What are the big challenges? What are the things that you guys are coming up against? I mean, obviously you're doing a lot of what they call prospecting, you know, just like gold miners did, just out panning rivers, which is weird because it has nothing to do with making sales.
I like to feel
sales.
Like a gold miner. I think I like that analogy.
But that's what it is. I mean, you're out prospecting, right? You're out trying to find things. And in order to do that, you gotta pan a lot of soil, right? You're digging a lot of holes. So how does that work? Like, how do you guys approach that? And then in the long run, like, what do you see as the challenges that you're hitting?
So I think all of us have like a little different approach to it. To start off with, you know, when people ask me about my job, I tell them pretty much point blank that, you know, I wouldn't rather be doing anything in the world. Like, I love Ultimate, and the idea of selling Ultimate, which is, you know, essentially what we're doing, we're convincing people to, you know, back this sport, is, you know, a dream come true. It's also a lot like Mission Impossible, and a lot of cases for people who don't know anything about Ultimate, they're like, wait, like, with the dogs? And you're like, no.
You want me to do what for
not
the thing
quite.
With the dogs?
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, you're starting at a square one, but in general, you know, it's extremely rewarding, extremely exciting. Me personally, I like to start off, you know, for most people that we're talking to, we were able to accrue some email contacts and some phone numbers. So I like to start off with some emails, you know, just to feel the waters. We have a couple different methods of seeing who's opening our emails and stuff like that we use, I guess, analytically to see who's interested. And then from there, you know, getting people on the phone and trying to convince them, you know, what we're all about. Like, I think passion is the best way that gets across, and like, I'm pretty passionate about the sport in general, so it's been pretty successful so far. It's, I mean, at the end of the day, there's your good days and there's your bad days.
Of course,
you know, but
but you've leveraged a couple of these conversations into some pretty cool deals. The one that always comes to mind is Point Six, probably.
Yes, absolutely. That was you know, one of my first deals I ever actually got here, and you know, it's obviously extremely exciting for me coming out of college. You know, they're really, really, really cool people. Awesome product.
Great company.
Yeah. So.
And a good logo.
Oh, killer logo.
If you're throwing something on the jersey, you want that to look good.
Yeah.
I like the fact that that's a good looking logo. We
got absolutely. Jersey
there. And so we've worked with them for a while. I wonder when you got through this first season, you know, obviously, like, this is the first season we really gained significant traction in the sponsorship arena, right? We've started to actually sign a lot more people than we had in the past. Now we're moving into 2016. Like, what does it look like? What does the prospects look like? What does the pipeline look like? How are we feeling?
It's extremely promising.
I'm extremely excited.
We'll hopefully have some great announcements, you know, soon, within the next month or two. Some things that should really be some eye-openers for the rest of the Ultimate community. I'm looking at you, R-Ultimate. You'll be excited.
I don't know that R.S. Schultzman is ever particularly excited. I love the passion that is displayed over there, but joy is not an emotion that I typically see.
Not often. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, I've got some really exciting things. I know Billy and John are working on a couple other really exciting things right now. And you know, I always tell people, especially on the phone, you know, the season is from, you know, April to July. My season is from July to April.
Well, we try to make sure you're working in the season, but you know, we'll put some more pressure on you for that.
Yeah.
So we made a little bit of a little bit of adjustment in the way that we talked about your department from last year to this year. You know, last year it was technically referred to it as sales all the time, right? For the most part, sponsorship, maybe sales, something like that. This year we've kind of tried to make not only a shift in the semantics, but also a shift in the actual like meaning of the department, where we're referring to you guys as the partnership development team now. So the job has changed a little bit, right? There's a little bit of a different focus, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's really exciting, you know, because you get to sort of open your mind a little bit more. I would say before it was, you know, a little more funneled towards what is our, you know, direct cash benefit here, like where's the monetary value, you know? And now, you know, it's really changed and allowed us to open our eyes and come up with a lot of more creative angles on things, you know, and figure out, you know, well, maybe this isn't going to be a cash partnership or sponsorship, and we're not gonna, you know, get that original or like initial, you know, benefit from it on the money side, but, you know, there's a lot of ways this is helping out our players, keeping them happy, as well as, you know, helping the league grow. And so, you know, figuring out those partnerships is a lot of times involves a lot more creativity and a lot more thought,
right?
You know, I mean, whereas on the cash sponsorship deals, a lot of it is cut and dry, you know, like there are prices for things, and, you know, we can discuss what you want and what you don't, where, you know, in the development side of things, it allows us, you know, a little more wiggle room to figure out what it is that the partner wants and what's best for us. And I really take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, I mean, putting the trade deals together is a big deal. Putting those like strategic partnership kind of things is a big deal. And I think that, you know, for a long time, it's not that we didn't do a lot of those things before. We were open to those ideas. We worked toward them. But I think that the way your department was structured and the way that our business worked, it wasn't putting you guys in a position where that was beneficial, which I think it is now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it also leads in the other part. We said in the beginning, you have a couple, you have kind of multiple titles here. That you actually have another title, and I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, I actually don't.
It's another. Yeah, I know. No, but essentially, we have you as a PR coordinator as well. So we've split your time a little bit because we realized that these two things are pretty related with what we want you to accomplish. So basically, we're looking for you to keep your sales things going, but then also start to develop some of these media relationships and media partnerships that we want to look for. Not only that, but what you've been doing lately and that I think is probably more important is starting to develop relationships with Ultimate Frisbee organizations that we may not have been working as well with before. That is a big part of the way that we've sort of put our new mission out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, what kinds of stuff have been happening over there? I think we're doing something right now with the Bay Area.
With
BATA.
Yeah, Bay Area Disc Alliance. Mike McGurk, actually a player of the Dogfish, is heading up that over there. The focus has really been, I mean, obviously, you know, but, you know, we just want to grow Ultimate, and we want to grow it in not only the communities where we are affiliated, but nationwide. You know, it's most beneficial for everyone. It's most beneficial across the board. So, you know, I've been working, you know, pretty hard. Not my whole time, but I've been working on
Jonathan McQueen is sitting there, our VP of sales, and they're going, how much time are you working on that? Just curious.
Yeah,
just want to know.
Yeah,
this is how he talks, dude. Yeah, just want to know. I was just wondering. I was just wondering what you're doing. Just tell me how long.
But yeah, you know, I've been working on that front, and you know, compiling a list of different Ultimate communities and non-Ultimate communities, you know, to really just grow the MLU brand and the sport as a whole.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we all know what's good for Ultimate is good for the MLU, for sure. So
absolutely.
As much as we can contribute there is good. I think that we're gonna go back a little bit now. We're gonna jump back to your college days.
The real time machine?
Those halcyon days of just carefree enjoyment. You recall them. So you went to St. Joe's University.
I am. I'm a Hawk.
You're a Hawk. A Hawk is what they call you. Now, so that actually gets me to my first point. So the way that we actually, the way that you got involved here and the way also that your friends and roommates and teammates got involved here was originally through our PGP program, right?
Yeah, it was. It's actually, you know, it's kind of funny. It went full circle, right? Because now I'm kind of doing some PGP things as well.
Yeah, right.
What had happened was a guy
who such was, a boy. I just need to stop you there. That was such a Baltimore phrase. I haven't heard that. My wife does that
purple.
Too.
I don't know if you noticed.
I haven't
Friday,
heard that Baltimore phrase.
I don't care how bad the Ravens are.
See what had happened
Matt
was.
Shaw, you got it.
What had happened was. All right, go ahead, continue.
A player on our team who was supposed to be running up the jersey orders, like most people I feel like who play Ultimate can understand, he dropped the ball and kind of got lazy and didn't do it. So,
do you want to call him out, like specifically by
Alex Supert? His name is Alex Supert.
Yeah, that's good. We like to use this as a platform to to call out those who've annoyed us.
Great guy and great player, by the way. Anyway, so then you have his artwork.
Oh, we're talking about that in a minute. Very excited about that.
So my roommate Luke. Who MLU Luke, as most people I guess would know him, our stats guy.
At MLU Luke.
At MLU Luke, yes. He you know, took the initiative on his own because it was, you know, push came to shove, it was time to get jerseys, and he was like, hey, I think it'd be a good idea if, you know, we reach out to the MLU and see, you know, I think they've got a jersey thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's do it. And then we sent in a fairly comical image. Do you want to show it now, or do you want to wait?
No, we're going to show this now. So
this is Alex Supert's drawing.
I'm going to get to showing this. So we were doing this PGP program, you know, to give people a little bit of background. We were doing this PGP program at the time, and basically the idea was we were providing jerseys to teams pretty much at cost, and we would kind of be sponsoring them. Like, we'd pick up all the, you know, the printing fees and things like that. So we... you know, we got a lot of people asking for jerseys, and, you know, most of them sent us their little logos, their emblems, their things like that. And, you know, we'd help them out in arranging the artwork.
St. Joe's went a different route.
St. Joe's. I mean, I just, so anyone who's followed the MLU probably knows that my design style is pretty, shall we say, sparse. I like clean design.
This is specific.
I don't know if you can, it's kind of hard to see maybe on the screen, and we'll post this if you follow us at Cleats Cufflinks. We'll have this up on the Twitters. But this is the artwork that we got. For those who are listening, basically what we have here is the entire jersey appears to be covered with, I would guess, what's intended to be a sublimated map of Philadelphia. You get the Delaware River down there right at the bottom of the shirt. Then there's a kind of an oddly shaped eye in the middle that incorporates what I can only assume is a reflection of some significant St. Joe's building, kind of a red pupil, and then what looks like it's supposed to be an eyebrow, I'm pretty sure, but what looks like the most terrifying caterpillar I've ever seen,
definitely.
Just kind of draped across the top of the eye. So if anyone, you know, we'll give you guys one more look at that, so you can pick that up.
I'm going to take the moment to defend Alex Supert here, and you know, this
we're not even getting into
birds,
the back of this yet
just,
either.
And just go ahead and say that we had a vision, and the vision was great. Putting the vision on a piece of paper just proved more challenging than we thought it would.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I love that you guys have terrible design.
Yeah, no, it's funny now, you know, working here where it's like, you know, I come in. And, you know, get to see a couple of people who were here when we submitted the jersey. We're like, oh, it's you guys.
Everybody loves it. I think Tom has this design saved and backed up in like 14 different places. We have this design better protected than most of our intellectual collateral. It is that important to us here. And someday, and then I'll tell you this, someday I'm making this jersey. I'm going to make this jersey someday.
I'm number 99, it's or at least
happen.
I was then. So
oh, my
when
goodness.
You make them, keep that in mind. Like, size
it's,
large,
it's
probably.
Gorgeous.
We'll see
it is absolutely
maybe
gorgeous.
Extra large.
Yeah. So we got to the point where we gently, I think, talked you guys out of this and into kind of more what was our kind of basic style. We were working with Puma at the time. We've since moved on. We now have Canterbury, who are amazing as their jersey sponsors. But we had a nice experience with Puma, and that's the jerseys you guys end up getting. I remember this one conversation. I don't think it was with you. It may have been with Luke. It's
probably Luke.
Yeah, we had this back and forth, and I said, you know, have you considered just using your school emblem? And, you know, he had written back, like, I don't know. Can we do that? I'm like, well, go ask. And I guess you guys went and asked, and we had a couple of jerseys where we got to do this, and it really is something that makes me happy. We got to put the actual school emblem on the jersey, the actual school name. And for me, as a former college player who played for a team named Scooby Doom, it was pretty exciting to see a team actually use the actual like school kind of intellectual marks to represent their college, represent their team out in Ultimate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to this day, that jersey's one of my favorite jerseys to wear. It's awesome. We also got the short shorts. Follow, you know, at
you New got York the Rumble. New York we Rumble did. Shorts.
We got the New York Rumble design, so we had.
I forgot about
team,
that
team short shorts. It was phenomenal.
How do people feel about that?
You know, outside of Billy and his like massive thighs, most people were upset. Most people were like, you know, I mean, like, look at me. my legs seemed fairly thin, and as white as my face is. The thighs are even whiter, so it was an interesting look. I felt that we intimidated our opponents, and it worked in our advantage.
Oh yeah, you're just flashing some shiny man thigh at them.
So flexible too. My low releases are just.
This is the thing. I mean, it's weird for me because the New York Rumble shirts I get made fun of all the time. And all right, I get it, deservedly so. and I will admit here on the show. That was a mistake on my part. I reviewed the uniforms and reviewed the shorts, but I didn't review that particular pair of shorts for one reason or another. So, sorry, New York guys.
I think it's something we'll look back on and smile.
Oh, I already smile. I mean, yeah. At New York Rumble shorts, I mean, go back and review that Twitter account, and you'll find yourself smiling quite a bit.
Glorious.
Glorious. But, you know, for me, like, back when I played soccer, like, you started with, like, the short shorts, and then as time went on, shorts kind of got longer and baggier. I think we're going to see a reverse to the cycle, and people are going to be looking at that New York team, and they're going to say, that is a progressive team. That is a team with their finger on the pulse of fashion.
Yeah.
Headed to the future.
Yeah, they knew fads before they even, they were
way ahead of their time. Way ahead of their time.
And I mean, I guess, you know, by relation, they'll say the same things about the 2014 St. Joe's Ultimate Team.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we're going to, you know, that's something we need to feature. I think let's find out if we can get some pictures of that, get that up and featured. So we'll try to tweet that as well. So at Cleats Cufflinks.
Purposely all showing off the thigh in this picture, the one I have in mind. You were on a knee, you know.
Thighs out.
Yeah.
Skies out, thighs out. So, but yeah, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, though, but yeah, full circle. Now you're actually working with Canterbury to handle some of our new PGP stuff that's coming out. So right now, we have the opportunity for teams to get jerseys, get shorts, be part of this Pro Gear program. You want to tell them anything more about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, from experience, I think it's beneficial to have me running this because, you know, when I'm talking to teams, I can relay a little bit of personal experience behind it, you know, because I've been there and I've done it. And most importantly, I've been there with some other companies that, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of times, and I know a lot of people feel the same way I do, it's like you order, you know, 30 or so light and dark and a pair of shorts and all the numbers are wrong and nothing really ever comes as it should, and it's like a month late, and it's really a pain. And that's, you know, really the biggest benefit, I believe, in working with Canterbury is that, you know, they're massive. Like, they have this down to a science. So they are able to, first off, they have a do-it-yourself program, so it allows you to really design your jersey the way you want to do it. I mean, it's not perfect, and, you know, we're not all, like, Adobe shop people here, like they work with you, you know, like they get what you're saying, and you can get on the phone with them and you know they'll get you the image that you're looking for, which is great. And when they say it's going to be here on this date, it's there and it's right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been just from our perspective, from a league perspective, it's been great working with them there. They've been really great partners over the past year. We're just finalizing all the stuff for next year's jerseys, which is part of why today was a little stressful. Maybe part of why you're looking a little peckish. Did I say that right? I know how to read that. I know how to read that word. I don't know how to say it. I know what the problem is. Pale. Pale and drawn.
Way to get to the point. Thank you.
That's what I was going for. Yeah, they've been great. And I think that, you know, they have a couple of options too. They have the full sublimated thing, but they also have like customizing existing jerseys. And if you go to, what is it, MLUPGP.com, you can actually try out their kind of design it yourself tool.
Yeah, absolutely. The design it yourself tool. If you want to reach out, Robert.Katzen, C-A-T-Z-E-N, at MLUltimate.com. I think that's on the website as well. More than happy to help you guys out.
Or you can hit him up on Twitter. He'll get back to you.
Yeah. At Bert Katzen now. It used to be at Kitty Katzen.
It did used to be at Kitty Katzen.
I was strong-armed a little bit to change that.
You had an adorable, I think, cat head
I did. Avatar. Thank you to Tom Levy.
Yeah. Oh, did Tom make the adorable cat head avatar for you?
I left my laptop up, and when I came back, my Facebook picture had been changed to, a quite handsome picture of myself, if I do say so myself, for my graduation.
Yeah.
And, you know, classic Bert Katzen smile. And it was pretty good.
You were happy with that? That was your Facebook?
Yeah. Looking good, feeling good. And then I came to my laptop and my head was missing and instead was a massive gray cat head. And I think it was meant to make me upset and I saw it and was like, I'm keeping this.
Yeah.
This is mine now.
That's who I am.
I'm embracing it.
Yeah, you're living the life of the giant cat head.
I am the cat. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm the cat Katzen.
So... I am the cat Katzen. So going forward, you know, we're moving into what we would see as officially our preseason, right? So we have our off season kind of the fall, but once we hit January with this, it's kind of like full on preseason time, right? So coming all the way back around to how we started this conversation, you know, from a partnership development perspective, in addition to bringing new partners on and putting people in place, like what else is going on to make this year successful? What else is going on to make this season successful from your guys' perspective?
Outside of just activating the partners that we...
So the activation thing, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of what I was thinking about. Like, how complicated is that process? Like, because I'm involved in this considerable amount of it, but you also have Kelsey, who we spoke to on the show here a little bit ago. You have Tom with the content side. You have Matt with the film side. We're hiring a new social media coordinator who we haven't quite picked yet. So if you're interested, you can still get in under the wire. Though we're hoping to settle on a candidate by the end of the year here. But you know, how much are you involved in the process of assuring activation is done properly?
So to start off with, we talked about how sponsorship had really started growing at this time last year, really around October last year.
Yeah,
that's when I started. By the way, it's not a coincidence. So I would say I'm extremely involved in the activation side of things, and something that's been a real focus of ours and a learning lesson, you know, because last year was the first year we really, you know, had a lot going on, and at least as far as I know, I mean, as long as I've been here, and for a while there, it was up to me and it was up to Bill and John to not only be managing the activation side of things and sort of juggling them, but also, you know, looking to prospect and do those things as well, and having Kelsey is an absolute godsend. She's amazing, extremely organized. And stern.
Stern is the right word. I've been trying to find that word. That's the one. Stern.
But it's perfect. It allows us to still build relationships with people, which is great. But also, you know, relieves us of those activation worries. You know, there's obviously, you know, a lot of these partnerships have a lot going on. There's a lot behind it. There's a lot of things that need to be activated on site, digitally. Like you said, video, and there's a lot of people who need to collaborate, and Kelsey's sort of like the funnel that makes sure that communication is happening 100% throughout.
So you still have your relationship with whoever you've been working with at, say, Point Six, but at the same time, Kelsey's making sure that the minutiae, the little things that need to be accomplished for them are done, that all the measurements are correct. Because this is the other thing that people don't realize. When you're doing sponsorship, you have to provide your proof of performance all the time. So that's analytic data, that's photographs of what they're supposed to be doing on the ground, like, and she manages to collect all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, with any partner, there's expectations, and, I think it's naive to think that there's someone sitting in that office just refreshing the MLU page, making sure that their one thing goes up. So, you know, at the end of the year, they want to see that everything was done, and, Kelsey's been huge in getting that done. But, I absolutely keep a relationship with everyone that I speak to, and... while it may not be as, back and forth as it was, at this time last year before Kelsey was on. It is definitely still, you know, something that I enjoy doing.
Excellent. Well, we're running out of time. So if you want to get us, you can ask questions, get answers, cleatsandcufflinks@mlultimate.com or @cleatscufflinks. You can also get me at Nick Darling.
@BertKatzen.
@BertKatzen. Feel free to ask any questions you want. And if you want to, you know, you want to start a partnership relationship with Bert here, he's more than happy to talk. Thank you all for coming. We'll be back again in a week's time.